You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, we're talking with B. Ander. He's in London right now. B, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about the work you're doing now. What's happening in your studio where you are, or what are you involved in at the moment?
Well, for the last year, I had like five gallery exhibitions in five different countries. So I thought this year I should say no to most galleries and focused on bigger, more public projects. So I'm working on three different public projects at the moment. I have a commission in London, in central London, and a commission in Oslo, in Norway, and I'm working also on a project in the west coast of Norway. So that's my main.
So tell me a little bit about that. That's exciting. So instead of having gallery shows, you're choosing to do work that's in the public realm and is, I mean, most likely state or government financed. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And so tell me a little bit about what's happening in I guess the first commission in central London. What is that one about?
That's a commission in Bethnal Green, just in Hackney. I was commissioned by Union Development and the Art Council is also involved. And they're basically they're redoing the whole area around Mayor Street. So they're taking down buildings and putting up new buildings and kind of redoing the whole area. And in that process, they're building this new public square. So they commissioned me to put up three installations / sculptures in that square. It's going to be up by the end of this year. So I'm basically going to,
So tell me, you're basically going to put three sculptures and installations. That sounds like a big project. That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a very interesting project. I like this kind of project because you're kind of involved in a team, you work with an architect, and you work with a production team. And for me, I like working with people. I like this kind of project, you know, when you kind of involve more people than just sitting in your studio by yourself. And I guess in this project, I also want to kind of ask question like about art's role in, you know, as a social gathering point within a public space, you know, does art stop being art if it has a function in a public space and all this kind of questions, which also has to do with interaction, I think.
And how are you working that into the design of your piece? Can you talk a little bit about what's actually happening in the square or what it might look like?
There's going to be three separate pieces that kind of work together. But the main one in the middle of the square is going to be a big piece that is kind of part of the architectural structure, but also part of how people interact within the square. Basically, part of it's going to work as a bench, as a big bench. It's 12 by 7 meters long, and it's 8 meters tall, I think. So it's quite large scale. And another piece is hanging between the two buildings and kind of binds them together and use the architect as language, in a way, as separate words. If that makes sense. And the third one, I think, should be a surprise. You kind of have to go there to see that one. That's kind of the main.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, just to go over that. So the first one is that sounds huge. That's a tall piece and also very long, correct?
Yes. It's very. It's going to be made of concrete and marbles. It's a bit. It's quite big.
And so it's a bench and it's something you can sit on, but also a kind of a wall, correct?
Yeah, no, it's more like a pillar. It's basically a big kind of wordy sculpture, and it works as a pillar for the building, one side of it, and the other side, which is laying more flat on the ground, works as the bench for people to kind of sit on, interact with. You know, they can do whatever they want on it, and that's long. That's kind of, I think it's 10 meters, that part of it, where people, you know, that can be used by the public as whatever they like.
And you chose to work in this, you know, as opposed to galleries, and I want to talk about some other projects, but as opposed to galleries, because you like this kind of collaborative sense of working more? Is that way? I would think the galleries, in a way, that's more, you know, directly in the marketplace and is a little bit easier to predict than getting commissions in the public realm all the time?
I had a lot of, well, I love to do both, but I had so many galleries shows last year, and I thought I really missed that kind of interaction when you go out there in the public and you need to kind of, you need to think differently. You need to think about the people that are using the space and how people interact with art in a very different way. If you do it in a gallery, it's more, the gallery is more focused on money and collectors, and it kind of limits what you can make of it in that sense. So I think it's more freedom in doing the public thing to a certain extent, because then, of course, then the council has their opinion and that, you know. But at least it's not about selling the objects, which I kind of also, like.
So let's talk about another installation. What's happening in Norway? There's you're producing something for a public space there as well?
Yeah, so I was called up by this curator that works for Art in Oslo, which is the municipality of Oslo has this art, official art, kind of that commission art project for the public. And they're building, the municipality is building this 30,000 square meter building next to the Botanic Garden, and they asked me to make art for it. And that's it's quite new. I went there last week, and it was minus 18. It was freezing cold, and I had a look. So I'm basically there. I'm in the planning stage. I can't tell you too much about that. But it's similar. They want something. The only restriction I have, they want something that kind of involves light, because it's very dark in the winter, you know. So yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Well, but so say that again, because right, it's the winter. It's incredibly cold. It's very dark there. So they want something light, you said, or how do you deal with that situation? I've never been to Norway in the winter, but how do you approach that situation?
I mean, minus 18 is not that often, but it was really cold. How to approach it? I'm not sure. I'm thinking about it. I think mainly what I will do is to add some light, some kind of light to the installation or whatever I make that's going to be on the outside of the building. Because in Norway it gets dark really early in the evening, and it's dark until 9 o'clock in the morning. So it's in the wintertime it's a lot of darkness. So I guess that's kind of the only way of thinking about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's such an interesting situation, really, in Norway, right? Especially for some visual artists. Anyway, this idea of such an enormous amount of time without light seems like it would change how you're looking at art, how you're looking at the world, everything. I mean, I was only in Iceland once during the summer where they had a kind of, it was almost light. It was light all the time. It wasn't dark at all, but I can't imagine, you know, what it must be like to live there creatively as an artist and be influenced by all that lack of light, I would imagine.
I feel like I've forgotten all about this, because I moved out. I mean, I think I was 18, 19 when I moved out, and it's so long since I've been there properly at wintertime. I haven't experienced minus 18 now for, you know, 15 years or something. So it's hard for me kind of to imagine that darkness all, you know, through the winter, you know, to live there, because it's basically 20 years ago.
And if we can go back a little bit, then let's just talk about some early experiences when you left there. You left Norway, and how did you get involved in the art world? What was your first exhibition or involvement in the art world after that?
That's a long time ago. I started to do very classical painting and drawing, and I did art school in Italy, which was very kind of tradition based. I mean, it was drawing and painting nudes and very 19th century based. That was kind of my first introduction to art. I didn't have any art at home. There was no exposure to art. And after that, I got very curious about more contemporary art, and I applied for Slade at UCL in London, and I got in. And that's kind of how it started, I think. Probably.
And then when you graduated from school in London, you stayed in London?
Yeah, I got stuck here and I stayed there. I lived in Paris. I've been in New York, in Paris. I've been in France for a bit. I've been in Berlin once. You know, I've been, but London always, it's kind of become home. So this is always where I end up again if I go somewhere. Yeah.
Well, what as you entered into the art market here, because that's an interesting kind of approach. So London was where you began showing work, and not that long ago either. I guess this is within 20 years, all of this.
Yeah.
Where did you first show in London? And did you feel it was very receptive to new artists when you began looking for shows there?
Not really. I think I feel London is quite clicky in a way. So it took me a long time to understand the art world, I think, because I was so from the outside of the art world and you kind of had to learn everything. But I think for me, it was... when it happened, it just happened very easily. I showed this gallery some works, and they said, well, let's have a solo show. So that's how it happened, basically. But before that, I've been selling for many years more directly to collectors without a gallery. So I had been living on my art for many years already. So it was kind of like a very smooth... I didn't really aggressively approach galleries. This was something happened. Someone introduced me to this gallery and they said, yes, let's do a solo straight away. And then I had a show. So, and that, yeah.
But before that, you were saying you had relationships directly with collectors that were coming to your studio and you were just selling out of your studio?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was quite lucky. I worked really hard at that. In my 20s, I worked a lot. I did a lot of, I was painting at the moment of all things, and I was basically working nonstop. And I think I was very lucky. I met some people, some collectors that start talking and they bought and then their friends bought and then kind of, it started and moved very quickly in that sense. And that's way before I got a gallery involved in anything what I was doing.
Well,
so I guess I was very lucky.
Yeah, well, really, you could have stayed right there. You could have not gotten a gallery and perhaps just continued those relationships with collectors and sold privately.
No, I could, yeah, but it wasn't really, yeah. No, I do, yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't know. I think I was I'm very curious about the art, well, you want to be part of it. And also, my work changed on the way. I was very young, it's in my 20s, I was painting. And I basically stopped painting at some stage when I turned 30, I think. And then after 6 months, I had my first solo show in a gallery with word pieces. I think that's what happened.
Yeah. And let's talk about that show a little bit. What was that show like? Because that was a pivotal point in your career, right?
Yeah, that was kind of a transition in a way, yeah.
And then that show and that work separated, you know, dramatically from work before that in content, correct?
It kind of did, I guess. It was around the financial crisis, and everything kind of everything changed. I felt the whole world was changing in a way, and it was just something that happened very organically. If you look at it, it looks kind of like a massive, drastic kind of change aesthetically. But for me, it was just something that was very natural. It was a natural move in a way, because the world was changing so much, and I guess my private life was changing a lot as well at that stage. So it was something I wanted to get closer to. It doesn't make sense to say meaning, so I needed to get away from the image and the illusion of something on the canvas. So I took away the colors. And I started to use letters, and I started to explore how kind of meaning constantly is transforming and changing, in a way, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, and I mean there'll be links to some of the work in your website in this interview, so that other people can see it. But that also was what began to then evolve more rapidly for the rest of your career, right? That way of seeing this kind of movement through ideas and meaning, as you say.
Yeah,
as opposed to illusion,
But it's quite funny in a way, because I think image creation and perception are in the central elements in my practice still. I mean, I work somewhere between an image and a word. I mean, it's visual, but it's still readable. It's kind of almost an image, this kind of pattern-y thing I often very often end up with. So it's kind of the conflict between reading something and looking at something, you know, reading and seeing. I mean, that's the essential part of what I'm doing, I think.
And well, and the essential process of an artist, I suppose. And after last year, I mean, now this is another big transition. So last year you had many shows. In a way, that's kind of a peak experience there. But you're choosing to, in a sense, switch modes again or gears and work more collaboratively as well as publicly, which is really quite a different experience than not just the studio, but in terms of exhibiting.
I'm not sure if it is. It's isn't it all logistics in a way? I mean, my work is still about the same. Yes, like you deal with a different space and a different setting in a way, but I'm still dealing with how, you know, what is an image, what is meaning, what is space, things I'm dealing with. Even if I work in a gallery, I think then you have to think a bit about, you know, a bit wider than in a gallery, because you're not dealing with a white cube necessarily, and you're dealing with different restrictions in a way. But I think my work is still quite related to what I would do in a gallery. I think it's quite similar.
And you said there was three things going on right now. There's Norway and London. And was there one other commission that you said you were working on, a public commission?
There's a project I'm working on in the southwest of Norway. So last year I had a project with Anthony Gormley, which I put up in Mardal, both in Norway, which is a 700-meter tall waterfall in Norway. And I put Anthony Gormley's sculpture within the midst of that waterfall. And I asked, what is art and what is nature? Because the waterfall itself is on only 2 months a year, and the rest of the year they use it for electricity. So,
but wait a minute, I'm not understanding what that is exactly. What's only 2 months of the year? What is that?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. So this waterfall, they turn on and off.
A waterfall that's generating electricity for the.
Correct.
I see.
So they turn it on and off, and then I start asking question, is this really nature? And then you start reading up, and then you realize before 1970, when they you know, built this into the electricity generator, it was 20 times as big as it is now when they let it, you know, over the falls. So I kind of asked, what is art and what is nature? And everything in that project, because it was like a spectacle in a way. So it kind of started asking all these questions. And the project I'm working on now is a very different project in the south of Norway. It's kind of trying to push that a bit further, and it's going to ask, how do we experience art, and contra how do we experience nature? And I have found this space, which is even more spectacular. And I'm going to put in some of my own installations that basically going to force people to experience art through some very extreme nature in a way. And I'm also collaborating with Felix Buxton from Basement Jacks to add some sound installation up there as well. And Felix is very interested in how sound can heal and vibrations. We're gonna kind of look into this in a very organic, natural way, I think. In that sense, but I mean, I can't tell you too much because I'm still waiting for permission from the municipality up there. It's still kind of on the nature of it is protected, so it's kind of a process of making things happen in a way.
It sounds fascinating, an amazing space, and that waterfall that you describe, and even the, you know, that kind of odd question about what is nature and what's real. Not long ago, I went to see Niagara Falls, and you know, in Canada, and it was extraordinary. But I was also told this isn't really the real falls. You know, it's being completely controlled. So it's kind of one of these great natural wonders of the world, and at the same time, it seems to not be that. You know?
Yeah, it's very common. I mean, if you read about Yellowstone, you will have the same. It's the same there. You know, think you're looking at this very natural place, and then you realize when you read about it that everything is shaped by humans, you know, for thousands of years, and it would look very different if it hadn't been. You know, and it's fascinating. It's very fascinating.
And so, before we go, it's been great talking to you about your work and these shows. Is there is there an exhibit anywhere where people can see your work? There'll be links to your work and things upcoming, but just in terms of viewers, listeners who are in London and throughout the world, is there any place in particular they should go to see work? Is there an upcoming show or anywhere you want to point people to?
I have, there is a permanent installation in Von Hovick Place in Victoria, and there might be a show coming up in London this year, but I haven't got a confirmation yet, so I can't tell you. They have to.
But the permanent installation is where?
That's in Von Hovick Place, where Philip Cipriori used to be, that they just moved, but it's in that building. It's a 15 meter long permanent installation.
And is it on the ground floor of the building, or?
It's in the ground floor, and you can enter. You will see it from outside, and you can enter and go inside and look at it anytime.
Well, very good. Well, I hope people get to see that and more of your work, of course. Bea, I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure getting to know your work and your process a little more.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.